Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You know at some point in March that she will not continue to take care of the cat.
No.
Yeah, you do, because I see an email that you sent to somebody.
Okay, one
okay
point
so don't lie about
okay,
that.
Well, no, but let me explain.
This is the plaintiff, Joan Sweet. She says the defendant, her one-time friend and roommate, ended up giving her cats and her cat carriers away without her permission. She still can't believe it and is in shock her five cats are no longer hers. The defendant had no right to do what she did, and now she's going to have to pay for it. She's suing for $3,865 for all she's out. This is the defendant, Sina Vega. She says the plaintiff, her friend, used to have 14 cats, and after Hurricane Sandy hit, she begged her to take some of them, so she agreed to house five of them. The plaintiff had no intention of taking the cats back. They were causing all sorts of problems with her landlord, so she had to get rid of them. The plaintiff now hates her guts, but she tried to help, so here they are. She's accused of a kitty cat conundrum.
Dave. All parties, please raise your right hands.
What you are about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with a case pending in civil court. Both parties have agreed to drop their claims and have their cases settled here before Judge Marilyn Million in our forum, the People's Court.
Be seated. Come to order, please. Litigants have been affirmed, Your Honor.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Okay, Ms. Sweet, you are suing your former friend, Ms. Vega, for $3,865 because, according to you, she stole your cats, your carriers, your laptop, a leather coat, and two sweaters. All right. You two used to be friends, correct?
We were friends for quite a number of years. I moved into an apartment in 2005, and she moved in soon after, and we were friends from then all the way through Hurricane Sandy.
All right. Now, when Hurricane Sandy happens, how many cats are living with you?
There were eight cats.
Eight cats.
Right.
All right. Hurricane Sandy hits, and you have to go to a shelter, and you have to go to a shelter too, correct?
Yes.
But because the devastation in your building was...
I met her.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then were the two of you living together? I mean, I guess everybody's living together in the shelter. When does it happen that you say to her, will you please take care of my cats?
Okay. Soon after Hurricane Sandy, we were both not in the shelters. I was living in Crown Heights. She was living in her new apartment.
Okay.
And they stayed with me. And then what happened is where I was staying, the lady developed an allergy to cats. And she said her homemade didn't like them, but she had an allergy. And I had to get them out. And I had to
move somewhere else. So where did you take your, how many cats did you have by then?
By then I had seven.
Okay. Nine, and how nine, many, I'm not nine. Talking to you. Hold on. And then, so how many cats did you take to her? At some point you take them to her.
Okay. I brought the cats to her. It was March of 2014.
Okay, my question to you is how many cats did you bring to her?
Five.
Okay, five cats and carriers and whatever. And also, you left with her a Dell laptop, a computer case, a leather coat, and two sweaters. Why?
Okay, well, we had an agreement that she would, I brought that before the cats. I brought that when she got her apartment, and she said I could keep them there as long as I wanted. And she said it was okay. And we
what is it that happened with the cats that brings us to your lawsuit? What is it that she did with the cats?
Okay, the idea was to hold those cats until I get settled somewhere, I wanted to keep two of them with myself that I was going to get settled, and I also had a woman in Kentucky who was supposed to have picked them up February 20th.
Why would a woman in Kentucky come to Brooklyn to pick up a cat?
Because
there's no cats in Kentucky.
They were not regular cats.
They were what kind? All of them were what kind of cats?
They were Siamese, and they carried the woolly gene, and some of them were woolly. So it was a type of Rex cat with curly hair that's very rare that was being developed as a breed.
And sick.
In fact,
it was a genetic mutation that people wanted to continue.
Continue the breed. And this lady was going to take them and develop the breed with me.
Okay, well, why didn't she take them?
Because she had a stroke.
Okay.
In February, and then she kept writing me as if she was going
to
pick them up.
Okay, but when you bring them to her, what is the plan? She needs to take care of them for you for how long?
There was no end date. It wasn't forever.
Why
wasn't
did you
forever.
Take five cats?
Because she persisted, you know. First she had nine cats altogether. When she called me, she told me that she killed Phoenix. And, you know, let me name the cat. She killed
what do you
this
mean
cat
she
accidentally.
Killed
she killed one of her cats.
Oh, accident.
So I felt sorry. Let me take five cats before the other ones die. Instead of me taking two, I took five. I said, before the other one died, I couldn't believe that she killed Phoenix accidentally.
Well, it could happen. God. Accidents happen.
Well, excuse me?
No, accidents happen. She's not a murderer.
There was an accident.
All right, but so you took five, and then what did you do with the cats?
Oh, okay, so she gave me three carriers and two big cages. I still have one, three-floor condominium in my house, plus the top ladder with the computer and the duffel bag.
Okay, I want you to focus.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, yeah.
You take the cats in to help her out because she doesn't have anywhere for them. At the time, do you two agree that you're going to have them for X amount of time, or is it
no,
open-ended?
No, just for a month, I told her, for a month. It was, and then they had like a...
Did you actually... Stop digressing.
Okay.
Did you actually say to her, you have 1 month?
Well, I told her 1 month, because this is probably going to be too much for me.
And then did she tell you 1 month?
No.
Okay.
I told
you, was there any text or anything to prove which of you is telling the truth?
I don't, she might have the text when I started.
Do you have the text of your conversations with her?
One text of her.
Why only one? The one that helps you? Where are the others?
I have a text that she threatened to get rid of the
cats. That's not my
question.
Why would you only have one text?
Because we used to talk on the phone, really. We weren't really texting that much.
I am giving both of you the opportunity to show me whatever texts you had. When did you finally say, I can't do this anymore?
I was sick. They had a big wound here. They
not
bleeding.
Why.
Okay.
When did you finally say that?
In April the 4th. I went looking for her. The lady told me she was living in a shelter in the synagogue. So I went looking for her.
And so you didn't even know how to reach her?
No, I couldn't reach her.
Did you have a telephone number for her?
No, but she refused to answer my calls. I said, Sarah, please. Yes, I did call her a lot. She refused to call me back on the phone.
So what did you do?
I went out of my way looking for her.
You went to the synagogue, and
yes,
what did you?
Yes, because I had a feeling she was there. So the lady told me, go to the shelter because she might be there. There's a shelter for women in the synagogue. So then I found her there.
Okay.
And then I was going to ask her for money for the cat food and tell her you have to take this cat with you.
What day was that?
That was like in the last week of March.
Okay. So then, why didn't you just give her a chance to come pick up the cats? Because you didn't. On April 4th, you took the cats to a shelter. Why didn't you just give her a chance to pick up the cats?
Because somebody told me in the synagogue she has no intention of picking them up at all.
But why would you believe that person? Who told you that?
I believed that. Yeah.
Who? Why would you? You still have to, by law, give her a chance to pick up her property.
This person happens to be her friend. Okay.
Who is it?
She's right here in the corner.
Which one?
Mm-mm.
Which person?
Gila, you told me that, Gila, yeah?
No, I didn't.
You told me she's under a lot of stress. She doesn't have an apartment, and she doesn't want... You're on your own. Gila, you can't lie at all.
I'm not lying.
You're under oath.
I know. There's a sham in the world.
I'm sorry?
There's God in the world. I don't lie for nobody.
Okay. I need you to stop talking directly to the witness. And I need to hear from you. What was it you did say to her?
We talked a little bit. She was asking me how Sore was doing. And then she asked me if I saw Sore. And I said at that time, no. But afterwards, she did find Sore.
Did you ever say anything about her, about Sore, I guess that's what you're calling Ms. Sweet.
Yes.
Not having an apartment in the immediate future.
No. I never said that.
Did you ever tell her she can't have cats here and she doesn't have an apartment lined up?
No, I never told her.
So where did the cats go?
Your Honor.
Where did the cats go?
They went to an no-kill animal shelter. They
okay.
were picked up.
When do you tell her the cats went to a no-kill animal shelter?
I kept telling her. She didn't want to listen at all. That was too late.
I don't understand, though. Just a minute. When did you finally go try to pick up the cats? Because I see an email from you to some. Are you listening to me? Because I'm talking to you and you're looking at my bailiff and shaking your head.
No,
all right. You know at some point in March that she will not continue to take care of the cats.
No.
Yeah, you do, because I see an email that you sent to somebody.
Okay, so don't lie about that. No, but let me explain, okay? She came to the synagogue, and she saw my friend Gila. She didn't say anything about taking the cats or there being a problem. After that, I got sick with the flu. I went to the emergency room of the hospital. In fact, I was very dizzy. I was in bed for over a week. I didn't check emails. I didn't check phone calls. I didn't check anything. I was too sick. And then I didn't even know what happened. Then I found out she had gotten rid of the cats.
How did you find out?
I called her up. I checked the emails.
Listen to my question. The day you call her and she says, I took him to a no-kill shelter.
She didn't tell me that. She never
told
me.
Did you tell her where you took the cats?
She never told me where she sent them.
I told her that a no-kill animal shelter took them, and they all spay and neuter, and they're all adopted.
But you didn't tell her where, so she couldn't pick them up?
No, never, because she was going to go and make a scandal. She was always making scandal. I was afraid because she was going to make a scandal in the shelter. But the cats are already neutered and spayed, taken care of. They were bleeding a lot over here. They had a lot of fleas and ticks. All my walls were full of blood and everything. I couldn't take care of them anymore. I got the antibiotics that I used to put on their necks, you know. And then her friend Gila told me, you're on your own. She doesn't care for the cats anymore. She's miserable. She doesn't have an apartment. Gila, Jehovah's
Witness.
Well,
it's true. I had an apartment. It wasn't true.
Well, you were in a shelter. I don't know what you're talking about. You didn't have the cats.
With me now where I'm living. It's not
Listen,
true.
God is not dead. So you read the Bible. You go to the synagogue. God is going to take care of you. Yeah?
Okay. I don't know how to say to you again, not to speak directly. No, but you can't just say what you want and then say sorry. Stop speaking to the litigant and to the witness directly. That's not done in court. Where is the Dell laptop, the computer case, the leather coat, and the sweaters?
Okay. I have the laptop and the computer in my apartment.
Okay.
Let me just look at it. Let me tell you.
Why didn't you just bring them? Why didn't you just bring them?
It's too heavy.
The laptop is too heavy?
Well, listen, you know how much I carry two shopping bags of clothing?
Her clothing?
Yes, she has just a lot of clothing that I brought to the court, and plus a coat and the slippers. It's too much for me to carry.
All right, I wish you'd brought the laptop. You know, that's worth more than all the clothing she's suing for. She's suing for like $90 in clothing and $1,500 for a laptop.
I have a TOEFL bag.
You have the laptop, correct?
I'm sorry, sweetie.
Don't call me sweetie. You have the laptop, right?
Yes, I have the TOEFL bag. The laptop is in my apartment. Yeah?
Perfect, stop. Okay, the computer case is in your apartment.
With the computer.
The leather coat, where's that?
The coat is here.
Perfect. The two sweaters.
Yeah, the two sweaters are here.
Perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to make arrangements to make sure you get your laptop, which is a huge part of your case, and everything else that we just went over.
What about the cages?
The
cages. The cages.
Now, the cages, when she got mad at you, you said to her, I'll give you $350
for the
cage. Yeah,
$100 for each cage, which is $100, because I went and checked in a lot of pet stores, and they were $89, so I rounded to $100.
Okay.
And
so,
she only had
and you also still have the cat condo, correct?
Yes, which is this big. It's like probably 200 pounds, and it's got three floors. I have it in my room.
You have that.
Yes,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently you're over-inflating the cost of the carriers, because according to her, that's $280 in carriers that she's suing for. The cat condo, she's going to get back. The stuff that's uncat-related, she's going to get back. I'm ordering you to pay her $280 for the cat carriers. And, of course, the greater problem is what it is that ended up happening with the cats.
But the cats, yeah.
So
the value
here
of the
we
cats.
Are with cats that you have had in your possession for a month. According to you, you told her that you would keep them for only a month.
Exactly.
And according to her, you said no such thing. You were doing her a favor. And then at the end of the favor, you didn't give her enough notice to pick up the cats. She says that you did you email her?
I don't have a computer. We don't have email each other.
But so how is it that you have an email to somebody saying this is what she sent me? Was that a recording?
No. We didn't, neither of us emailed each other. She text messaged me, but most of the time we
spoke on
the phone.
Did you ever find that text message I asked you to show me?
I sent it by email, but it was not the way she sent it. It was a text message.
I have a text message here saying she hates my guts and...
Okay, I don't need those. How about the text message that I asked you for earlier? Do you have that?
That's it, but it's a text message. I just gave it to you. You have it in front of you. That's it.
No, I don't want you typing out something. I want to see the text message.
You can type out,
I kidnapped the Lindbergh baby. It doesn't make it so. I wanted to see it in your phone. You don't have it in your phone? While she's looking for it, perhaps you'll admit it. Did you send her a text one day that said, cleaning after the cats is too much for me? I told Gila about it. I thought taking care of them was easy. It's not. I need someone to clean my apartment. My beautiful apartment has turned into a garbage dump. Mm-hmm. I want it the way it was, free from cat odors. I'm not hiding any cats. It's too much. Blanking work for me. Why don't you understand that? I'm like a slave. I don't want to do this anymore. No more cats. Next week is the last week. Did you tell her
that? Yes, I did.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Harvey Levin here. Is it weird for somebody to own 9 cats?
No, it's overkill, actually.
Overkill? Is it humane?
No, it's not.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I think it's fine. You know, it depends on if they have other animals that we don't see, you know, because they could have like 50 in the back, but just having 9.
Or like 4,000 rats.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Okay. What do you think?
Strange. Very strange. Too many.
Inhumane?
Yes.
Okay. Going inside the courtroom.
Okay. Now, if you had a week to get the cats elsewhere, and you were sick, that's unfortunate, but why is that not sufficient notice for you to go pick up the cats? Because, or have somebody else pick up the cats?
Because I didn't know she was getting rid of them, and I was sick in bed. Okay. I didn't check
and
the messages.
And that's fine. I understand
I didn't
that.
Know I had
but
gone
you
to
being,
the
you not
room.
Checking messages is not the same as her not giving you notice.
She didn't give me notice.
Okay.
She told me it was a few days
next
before,
week
and I didn't
will,
get
is the last
message,
week that I will take care of the cats. After April 3rd, goodbye. Let me see the text.
I didn't see that message
I
until
understand.
April 15th.
I'm very sorry that you didn't check your messages and that you were sick.
But
the issue before a court of law is, did she give you sufficient notice?
She came to Crown Heights. She spoke to Gila. She never said that she was getting rid of the cats. She never told me.
I didn't say that.
I don't want you to talk. I want you to show me the text.
I can't find where I copied it from, but I sent it. I showed it to you.
Okay. So if this is accurate and this is your proof, here is what your proof says. Her giving you a week to pick up the cats, that next week was her last week. I hear you when you say you were sick and you didn't pick up your messages until 2 weeks later. And that is fine. That is understandable. I hear what you're saying. That does not change that she gave you notice to come and pick up your cats. Okay? You were in a bad situation. You were in a shelter. It's not one cat. It's 5 cats. All right.
I wasn't in a shelter.
You were not in a shelter?
No.
Okay.
That she
then
lied.
Then take the cats.
I was
then they are your problem. They're
apartment.
Not her problem.
She
you
lied.
Can't keep saying, no. My cats are someone else's problem. They notify me. I have a week to get them. I don't get them, but I was sick, so it's still your
I
problem.
Didn't hear,
so
I
therefore,
didn't know the
I am
message.
Not finding you liable for paying for the cats. I am, however, going to order you to return all the items that we talked about, and I'm ordering you to pay the amount that she says she paid for the cat carriers, $280. That is my judgment. Good luck, folks.
Well, it's the plaintiffs leaving the courtroom first here after getting awarded $280 and your reaction to the judge's ruling here. Step up a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
The reaction is that Sina and I were best friends.
Right.
I never expected her to do what she did with the cats. And God is my witness
right.
that, you know, what she did wasn't right. I had someone who wanted to pick up the cats and it would have been safe. It all could have been resolved. I can't. I'm just very, very upset. I helped her after Hurricane Sandy. Her own family wouldn't help her. We were the best of friends.
Oh.
And I can't.
Okay.
And God is my witness to
right.
what happened.
Okay. You're heading around the corner that way.
Which one?
Right
this way.
Right there. Right there. Okay. All right. So step on out here. Just take your time. We have all day. And here. Just turn this way, uh-huh. And what's going on?
She doesn't have an apartment. That's why she couldn't take the cats. In other words, I was going to have to stay with the cats for like two more months and then get evicted from my apartment, yeah?
Yeah, what's it like to have all these cats run all over the place?
They had a big wound here, and they were bleeding, and I was putting antibiotics. Here are the antibiotics, yeah?
Right. No, that's all right.
I don't have nothing against her. I still love her. Mm-hmm. Even though she hates my guts.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I have nothing against her, yeah?
All right.
All right. You know, you have to give reasonable notice before getting rid of somebody's property, but in this case, the defendant did her job. And that will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Whether it's routine maintenance, an emergency repair, or a dream project, Angie lets you compare quotes from multiple local pros, browse homeowner reviews, and even book a service instantly. Angie's been connecting people with skilled pros for nearly 30 years. So the next time you have a home project, bring it to Angie to get your job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This is the plaintiff, Xavier Eskridge. He says he agreed to rent a room in the defendant's house, and before he signed the lease, she seemed very sweet and nurturing. But once the lease was signed, she became a totally different person. The woman even threatened to beat him if her rules weren't followed. 4 days later, she changed the locks on him. He called the cops, and now he's suing the crazy woman for the $650 he's owed. This is the defendant, Angela Watson. She says the plaintiff signed a list of rules with her before moving in. Then, once he was in, he gave her the runaround on paying the rent. She told him he was going to have to leave. He was the one who was threatening her. And if he thought he could push her around, he was sorely mistaken because she locked him out. She's accused of not backing down.
All parties, please raise your right hand. Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case on the docket, the plaintiff rented a room from the defendant and she turned into a beast, even threatened to beat him. But the defendant says he signed a list of rules which he violated and he was the one who threatened her. It's the case of we got the beat.
Xavier Eskridge, you are suing Angela Watson, your former landlord, for $650 in rent because according to you, she locked you out after just a few days.
Yes, she did.
What happened?
Basically, my friend Anthony, we was basically looking for a place at the same time. He found a place, him and his fiance at the time, on Craigslist. And basically, I met her, everything. You know, she was cool.
You were renting a room where?
At her house.
Was she living there?
Yes.
Okay, does anybody have a copy of the lease?
She should.
May I see it? Why don't you? She signed something, keep a copy.
She kept it.
I don't care. You have a telephone?
I do.
Does it take pictures?
It does.
Okay, it's not just for nasty pictures.
Right.
Okay.
I know.
All right.
I know that now.
Okay, it says here, waived security deposit, move-in cost only $900. What was the $900 going to represent? Rent was $650 a month.
$650 was his rent, and the $250 was a non-refundable deposit he had to pay in order to get into the place.
But what's the $250 for?
Well,
and why doesn't it say $250 is a non-refundable deposit? Why doesn't it say what you're saying?
Well, it did.
It did
once
where?
Once I wrote him his receipt and explained to him. Okay.
Those definitely
hold
must
on,
be
hold on.
And here's the actual receipt book.
Can I see the actual receipt?
Okay. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
He gave you $350, and it says amount due $900. Does he sign this or do you? You sign this. Okay, so amount due $900, he gives you $350, and you give him $5, and you say he still owes $550. How
yes.
much did you pay her?
I paid her $650 one day. That same all together.
Do you have a receipt for it?
I can show you a text message that confirmed that
she acknowledges that you paid $650?
Yeah.
That acknowledges you paid $650?
Not quite.
Not quite, just, right?
No.
Okay, she says that all you paid was... How much?
$350.
And that you were before moving, but I don't understand how he was able to move in then.
You know what? Because he said that he would give me the rest of the money So I agreed to let him bring his stuff in, and you know, but he didn't do the actual move in until the next day. So he signed my rules, my house rules.
Oh, let me see your house rules. Your rules are clean your room, clean after yourself in the kitchen and the bathroom. If the sheriff is called out, you'll be asked to leave. If you steal someone else's property, you'll be asked to leave. Respect each other at all times. No drugs. You can't have anybody in my home without my permission when I'm not home. No exceptions. No overnight company. No exceptions. So, when did you first learn about the rules?
So, can a landlord tell a tenant in the lease, no overnight guests, period?
That affects a person's ability to have relationships, and relationships are necessary for health. So for those reasons, I think it should be illegal to do so. And also, it's a
what do you do for a living, by the way?
I'm a math teacher. I went to law school for a year.
Yeah, I could tell that. That's where I was going. What do you think?
I think that's fair because it's their house, so they get to make up the rules.
Fair enough. It is kind of tough, no overnight guests.
It's tough, but if they sign the rental agreement, they got to stick by it.
Fair enough. Going inside the courtroom.
What happened to you one fine day, 4 days after you moved in?
Well, I guess it was like living with Mommy Dearest. You just never know what's going to happen on a day-to-day. Like one day, mind you, her room is in the back of the house. I bought, I made a bowl of cereal one day, and I brought it to the room. And she like, didn't I say no eating in the room? And in my mind, I'm trying to figure out, how does she even know like who's in the house, what time? And I finally figured out like she must have cameras in the room or something, because there's no legitimate way she could know who's in the kitchen, because she can't see, like, you know what I'm saying? And like she would text me at work like stupid stuff like, is my cat in your room? Did you leave the fan on? Oh, you left the fan on the top of the oven on? It started to become overbearing, and she's very aggressive, and I'm very aggressive. So it's one of those situations you see like it's coming to an end quickly. So, and she kind of beat me to the jump because she locked me out of the house. And I was working a 10-hour shift overnight doing security. And when I came back, I was locked out the house.
Did you lock him out of the house?
I did, ma'am.
Being spiteful.
Yes.
You don't have a right to do that.
Yes, I locked him out. I changed the lock.
Do you know that you don't have the right to do that as a landlord?
Yes, I did.
You do now, right? When did you find out that you can't do that?
I have always known that.
Well, then why'd you do it?
Because she's spiteful. She makes stuff up.
No, it sounds like it, but can you stop interrupting?
I'm sorry.
So what makes you so special that allows you to lock a tenant out, which is clearly in violation of California law and every other state?
Correct.
In some states, it's a misdemeanor.
Right, ma'am. Your Honor, like I said, Xavier agreed to pay.
I do not want to hear you repeat yourself.
Well,
I'm going to, let's just assume the guy owes you money.
Okay.
Now, what gives you the right to lock the man out with a big smile and tell the judge, yes, I did? What gives you that right?
We never signed the contract, number one, because
I thought you just handed me the contract.
Right. But you didn't let me finish because it was never signed because he never gave me the rest of his money. So therefore, the only thing he gave
me. So there's no such thing as a verbal contract for rent?
Not at all, ma'am.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No. So
you took some money from him and let him move in. That is right. Stop. Gave the guy a key. That's a rental. You know, your state has not only allows him to sue you for his actual damages as a result of a lockout, but it allows him to also recover $100 a day for every day that you have him locked out.
Well,
do you know that? Yes or
ma'am.
No?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
What is your justification? Because you don't have the slightest bit of remorse. You look to me like the kind of person who's going to lock the next guy out tomorrow.
No, he was the first tenant. After he had
you better made, be the last.
After he had made the threats to me that day.
Threats to you?
Yes.
What threats to you did he make?
Well, he said he was going to f*** me up. You know, if I touch his things, which I would never touch anyone's things.
She just locked
I wouldn't
out.
Even no, go into it. Their rooms. So he said, I will f*** you up. And I'm like, really? So you have my key to my house, and you're going to tell me you can go get your three boys, and I'm going to you up.
Okay. Let me tell you what the law allows you to do when someone threatens that they're going to blank you up. You can go get a restraining order, mm-hmm. but you can't lock the guy out. You can get the cops to take him out. You can get a judge to look at it and say, oh my gosh, that's a truthful statement. She is telling me the truth. I am going to remove him. But you don't get to be judge, jury, and executioner. Watch this. Did you tell her you were going to beat her up?
Absolutely not.
Okay, yeah, so, you know, course. You don't get to just lock them out because they're not paying you. That is never something you get to do.
So
now, can you prove you paid her $650 or not? Because the only thing I see is that you paid her $350.
I definitely gave her $650.
Okay, but other than your flapping gums, can you prove that you gave her $650? Because you only there's only a receipt for $350, which is somewhat peculiar if you paid her $650 at one shot, like you said.
All
right.
All I have is those text messages of all the conversations we had, everything that she was sending me from
work. Okay, I'm ordering you to pay back the $350. Okay, you don't get to keep that because you locked him out. That's my judgment. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you.
All right, and so out of the courtroom comes the defendant here. What's your first comment on this outcome?
Well, you know what? I disagree with her decision, but I do understand what she did say. He was a tenant from hell, so.
That's what she said? I didn't hear her say that.
Well, you know, as far as
why are you so happy and smiley and happy to admit that you broke the law? I knew you did.
Well, why not?
Why not? Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
She's a scam artist, and when she locked me out the house and the cops arrived, that's all she did was smile. It was quite peculiar, but that's what she does. Mm-hmm. So even my friend that moved in before me, he moved right out, and that's why everybody that stayed there is like there for a month, because once they realize what's going on, she's just trying to get all the money she can while they're there.
Okay, Harvey, what do you got?
You know, I got to tell you, in many states, a landlord who locks a tenant out is responsible for three times the damage. That will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the plaintiff, Zakiya Duncan. She says the defendants crashed their car into her parked car and then continued on and crashed into her aunt's house. The defendants say their brakes failed. Their insurance is trying to rip her off, and she's here suing for the $3,000 additional dollars it's going to cost to fix her car. These are the defendants, Yannette Hooper and her son Joshua Yearwood. Yannette says she had $10,000 worth of damage to her car, and she wasn't even driving it. Her son was. She has full coverage from her insurance company. They're handling things with the plaintiff, and she has no idea why she's coming after them now for more money when she was already paid by the insurance. They're accused of losing control.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case on the docket, the plaintiff says the defendant's son crashed the plaintiff's car, and it was ferocious. The car ended up in her aunt's house. Now, the defendant says that the plaintiff got fully paid by her insurance. It is the case of bang bang.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome.
Zakiya Duncan, you are suing Yannette Hooper and Joshua Yearwood. You are mother and child?
Yes.
Okay, for $3,000, a statutory maximum. Because according to you, you're out double that because he crashed into your car, correct?
Yes.
All right, what happened?
Okay, I parked my vehicle right in front of my aunt's house. Mm-hmm. I was on my way to a bowling party in Linden. So I got a call from my aunt saying that somebody hit my car. So I get to the scene. When I get to the scene, Yannette and some other people was like in front of, like got out their car. And I asked her, like, what happened? She told me that her brakes went out, she hit my car, and then she went into my aunt's house. She messed up the gate.
She did?
Or I wasn't there, so my aunt knows more of the story.
Okay, come on out. I assume you hear the crash?
I was in the window actually before it happened, because I'm always in the window.
How is it that every witness is always at the window? Does anyone actually have a job and stuff to do and whatever else? Is magically everybody's at the window.
I live in the window, and it came around, the Jeep came around the corner. So, yeah, came around the corner and just went into her car.
And what made him go into her car?
I have no idea.
Okay.
That's the thing. I was like, you know.
So is it he or is it her? Who's driving?
He was.
And are they both in the car or just him?
Both of them was in the car.
Both of them are in the car. Okay, go on.
So, at once after that happened, it went directly into our porch. The Jeep ran directly into the porch. Our porch is tore up.
I have pictures.
Wow. Let me see. What kind of car do you have?
I have a 2009 Honda Civic Coupe. I only had it for 3 months. Ugh.
Wow.
And I'm still making
payment. What happened?
Basically,
who was driving?
I was.
You
I
were.
Was.
What happened?
Basically, it's the same thing she just told you, but the only difference is the brakes did went up.
How did the brakes go up?
I don't know. It just failed.
You weren't just not paying attention? Was there a curve?
Huh?
Was there a curve?
It was. I was in the middle of the street when it happened. So.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's in. Okay. Was there a curve just before it where you might have lost control? Was there a curve before it or no?
It's like it was a car in back of her car. And it's like the way when I, you know.
Is there a curve or isn't there?
It's a curve, but the car is parked.
Were you going too fast?
You know.
Yes, ma'am.
Why were you going so fast?
Okay. The defense is the brakes failed. You buying it?
No. I just think they weren't paying attention. That's like the oldest trick in the book, like to say.
Who here in the last 10 years has had a car where the brakes failed once? Anybody? Anybody?
It doesn't happen.
15 years. It's okay, now you're starting to raise your hand.
Yeah, I was with a. I was actually with a producer. We're on a movie shoot, and he had this old car, and he didn't take care of it, and actually the brakes did fail.
How long ago?
Oh, it's probably about almost 20 years ago.
Okay, well, there you go. That's my point. Going inside the courtroom.
I wasn't really going fast, but like when I turned the corner, it was.
Yeah, that's why you got to slow down when you're taking a corner, pal.
It was a little fast.
How long have you been driving?
Like a year.
Okay, what's his defense? I'm sorry, because it just sounds like he just confessed. So I'm trying to understand what the defense is.
Not his defense so much. I wasn't even in my car.
You weren't even there. In the car?
No, I wasn't even there. But
okay, now I'm really confused because my understanding is you told your insurance company that you were driving.
Because he was not on my insurance.
So you committed insurance fraud?
No.
Yes. If you lied to your insurance company about who was driving.
I have uninsured driver
coverage.
Stop talking
and listen to my question. If you lied to your insurance company about who was driving, that is insurance fraud. Why would you do that? Because it's in your best interest to be dishonest?
No.
Well, it sure sounds that way. So what happened with your insurance? What'd they do?
My insurance went up, of course.
Well, yeah. I don't mean what happened that affects your best interest.
Okay.
I meant what happened with your insurance compensating, don't interrupt me.
Okay.
Compensating the person whose lives you ruined. Okay, maybe that's going too far. You destroyed her car that was 3 months old and you destroyed her porch. So I'm really interested in what happened with your insurance vis-a-vis them. I know all you care about is your rate, but I want to know what happened to them. What did they do? Did they pay? Did they not pay? Did they pay part?
My insurance offered to pay them, pay for the damages.
Okay.
I have the letter here.
Offered, let me see the letter. So did they pay to repair your porch?
What happened was her insurance company was paying out $5,000. We had to split it down the middle, split it in half.
The house and my car.
Wait, there's
my estimate.
But why $5,000?
That's all her insurance paid out.
I'm not asking what did they pay out.
Uh-huh.
I'm asking why did they decide that it was limited to $5,000?
Because that's my property damage they said is on my
insurance. Oh, that's your cap on property? Oh, wow. You really weren't paying for it.
I have it here.
So, what's your defense?
She called me and she harassed.
What is your defense to destroying all their property? Nothing, really, right? I mean, do you have a defense?
Oh, man.
Right. So she's here because the car is in your name, right?
Yes.
Right. But is it her fault?
Oh, man.
Right. Are you working?
No.
What do you do all day?
I do music.
Okay, you're gonna have to put the music on the back shelf, and you're gonna have to get a paying job, because this is not her problem, it's your problem. But because the law is the way the law is, if it's your car, it's your problem too. And I don't feel bad for you, because you knew he was driving that car, and he shouldn't have been driving that car if he wasn't insured to drive that car. So the judgment is gonna be against both of you. What you do and how you get your house in order is your business. But if my kid crashed my car that I was dumb enough to give them, I would want them to pay the whole thing. And music would have to take a back burner for a couple months until he raises the money to be able to pay it. Now, you're suing for $800 for transportation expenses. Yes. Mm-hmm. You're suing for $2,000 in car payments while you haven't been able to use your car. Mm-hmm. And you're suing for the insurance that you've paid, even though you can't use your car. And you're suing for pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. You're not entitled to pain and suffering in an accident case. That's for injury type cases. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're not entitled to the carrying costs of your car because you can't afford to fix your car. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, we could turn a case this big into a case this big. Every plaintiff has an obligation to stop the hemorrhaging, mm-hmm. to mitigate their damages by getting the car repaired. I understand as a practical matter why you didn't. You don't have the dough. I get it. Yeah. But that's still the law, and it mm-hmm. applies to you as much as it applies to anybody else. You understand? But in any event, it's all academic in your case, because I am going to award you the maximum statutorily allowable anyway, and I'm going to order that judgment against both defendants to compensate you for the additional $3,000 that it's going to cost to repair your car. Verdict for the plaintiff. All right,
So the plaintiffs have collected the maximum $3,000 on this case, and so step on in here. And what's your reaction coming out of the courtroom after this?
Man.
You feel bad putting your mom through all this, how this went down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had a chance to apologize to her or anything you want to say to her about all this?
None of your business.
All right. And your reaction to this outcome?
She made a fair judgment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At least the harassment can stop now.
All right. Okay, around the corner there, documents wait for you. All right, step on in here. All right, so are you satisfied how this comes out?
Yes, I'm very happy. I've been mm-hmm. waiting for my car for 6 months, and I'm mm-hmm. a full-time student. I'm graduating tomorrow with my associate's degree. I'm just happy.
Congratulations. What's the degree in?
Communications broadcasting.
Oh, good luck. Harvey?
So look, I mean, we get this all the time. The brakes fail. Judges probably go into it not believing it. But in a situation like that, I'm telling you, there is no way you are going to win a case based on that defense unless you bring in an expert who can back up what you say.